Rumor is that I get to do the young adults this time. That's good. Mark was concerned that I wore pants like this today. I know we have a dress code here of jeans only, but I was telling me, I remember the first time I ever wore jeans a couple years back. It's been 4 or 5 years ago now. I thought, Lord, am I okay here? And somebody came up, wow, I really like it. They liked the shirt. Actually, you know what? I actually think I was wearing this shirt when I did it. But And I said, you know what? I got this morning, thought I'm going to wear non-jeans. So those of you that are concerned that there's something going on, there's nothing. I decided to wear something different. I've had a couple comments like, wow, you look different. I know we have a strict dress code here, jeans only. But this morning I'm excited because I'm going to get a chance to let Josh share a little bit with you. So last week we ended with talking about Galatians 5, about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. How do we produce the fruit of the Spirit? By being filled with the Holy Spirit, by living and dwelling. And so one of the things we want to talk about this year, as we continue to press into the Lord, we want to be a fruit-bearing church. Okay? We want to bear fruit. And you know, it's one thing to say that we got a great, imagine looking out at a, you know, going down to Anderson's Orchard, or what's the other orchards around, a bunch of different orchards around here, and look and say, boy, those apple trees are looking great. But then when fall comes around, it's time to go get some apples, and there's no apples in the tree. Wouldn't that be terrible? But unfortunately, the church is supposed to have fruit on our branches, and the world and the other Christians around us need that fruit to function and be sustained. And as church, if we're not bearing the fruit we're supposed to be doing in due season and right season, I think we're robbing the world around and the body of Christ from the giftings and blessings that are inside of us. And so each one of us must want to have a long for and desire to bear fruit. And then what's nice is imagine going out to Anderson's Orchard and finding peaches instead of apples. I mean, I like peaches, but that's not what I went there for. And so we also want to make sure that we're bearing the fruit that we're called to bear. And so I really believe in my heart that Josh came to, it's been a couple of months ago, and he gave me a word that he's been seeing, and I'm going to kind of preface it because I like to, and I want him to share his heart with you. But he said, I really feel like the Lord's giving us both a blessing and a warning that it's time for us. We're living in the last days. We're living in a time where, I hate to say, playing games is just not an option. There's a lot of wars, rumors of war. I think we've read that somewhere here. And there's disease, there's pestilence. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world around us. And why not now choose to engage ourselves in a way to go to a higher level, go to a deeper level? And that deeper level we're going to get to today is about a church that wants to bear fruit. And so there's a warning for us. If we don't bear fruit, and it's not Josh giving a warning, it's Jesus giving the warning, okay? So even that. And so I want to encourage you, because I've got a lot to share about this, but I've asked him to go first, because that way, whatever, I don't want to cut him. I want him to be able to share freely. So those who don't know Josh, he plays bass up there. He likes to pray a lot, and he's very passionate about it, about the things. And so if you would, we're going to have him come on up here, and he's going to share with you some stuff, and then I'll get up and follow up. And I think, can I give you a mic? All right, thanks.
If you want to read along with, I'm going to be reading 1 Samuel 10. This is actually a word I'm going to start with I gave last year, but I feel like it builds the context for the word for this year, so we'll start here. 1 Samuel 10, we're going to be reading verse 5 and 6. This is right after, or this is when Samuel is talking about anointing Saul and giving direction on where to go after he's done that. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you'll prophesy with them, and you'll be changed into a different person. Now, with that, for last year, I felt like the Lord was saying that we're being like Saul, and we're just walking into this atmosphere of the glory or presence of God, and that we're supposed to be like King David, who knew how to create that atmosphere everywhere he went and where he was, and he walked constantly in the presence of God instead of just randomly showing up in it, and that we needed to learn how to do that daily. And while I was giving the word, I seen a picture of a tree. It had green leaves and stuff on it. The tree was alive, but it had no fruit on the tree. And Holy Spirit said, I'm looking for there to be fruit on the tree. And so that brings us to coming into this year. I'll be reading Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 6. Then he told this parable, Jesus speaking. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down, why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So, not very popular, but basically, coming in from last year, what this is, the word is for this year, is that we have one more year to produce fruit on the tree, or we get cut down. I don't know necessarily what that looks like, but when God comes to cut something down, it's thorough, and we don't want that. We want to produce fruit, and there is opportunity we have this year to produce fruit on the tree. It says I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. That means that there is a chance that we can still do this thing and we can still produce fruit for glory. And I feel like our solution is in John 15. It says this, I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my command, love each other. So in this chapter, there's various things that stood out to me that are solutionary things that we can begin to do as people and as Christians in the church to begin to bring ourselves to a place where we are bearing fruit. And the first thing that stood out to me is self-pruning. We can go through and comb through our lives and find out where are we wasting time not in God's presence? Where are we, you know, I don't know, fill in the blank. Self-prune yourself, you know, we can get into the word more. We can spend more time in worship. It would be better for us to prune ourselves than for God to come in and hack the whole thing down. let's see. You know, it says that this is to my Father glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, disciples follow at all times, not just once a week or twice a week or at any given thing that's at the church. It's, you know, when you're on your job or when you're at the store or wherever you may be, disciples follow at all times, bearing fruit at all times, giving glory to God at all times by the life we live. And just living and cultivating that lifestyle as a disciple will begin to produce fruit because of the way you're sowing your life. Talks a lot about loving each other and loving the ministry, you know, and a lot of times we, you know, we come to church or we do whatever group during the week and, you know, we say we're sacrificing our time, you know, to be here, but we can't always look at it as a sacrifice to be here, because if you're always sacrificing, then you're never loving to be here. You know, we are to be lovers of the Father and lovers of the Son. You know, we are the family and the body of Christ. We're not just, this is the best I can give this week, you know, all the time. It's, we love it, we enjoy it. There is joy, he says, that my joy may be made complete in you. You know, we need to love this. Says that everything the Father has shown me, I've made known to you. You know, during your week when you're seeing each other out and about or if you're getting together on the weekend or whatever, you should be sharing revelation that the Father gives you, things you learned. Even if you feel like whoever you're meeting with knows more than you or whatever, it doesn't matter, because it's encouraging to that person to see that you're learning something. You know, no matter what it is, share what the Father is showing you. It builds that community. It builds that relationship with whoever you're around. And it puts the focus on the Father and what he's doing in you and what is going on around you. You know, I thought about this. It says that the fig tree was in a vineyard. You know, typically a garden or a vineyard of type will have like a fence around it to keep people out that aren't supposed to be there, or animals or whatever. And so I was thinking about this, you know, if we can get this tree going and we have fruit on it and we're producing fruit, what do we have around it to keep things from coming in to steal the fruit or destroy the tree or whatever? And the scripture came to mind that love covers over a multitude of sins. So as we go through this and this year and further on, as we continue to grow in the ministry and love each other and surround each other and stuff, that love covers over it. Love will protect it because we love each other. You know, if an offense comes up that I hear about with Tim or something, but I love Tim, it doesn't matter because I love him and I look over it. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. We don't want fruit just in February or just in July. We want fruit that endures forever, and that we can have fruit even when we come into the fullness of the kingdom. We could say, look at the fruit I've brought for you. You know, we want fruit that will last. And part of that making the fruit last isn't rushing to make the fruit. The goal isn't to have fruit by the end of February or by the end of the day. The goal is to have fruit by the end of the year. Plant seeds at the beginning of the year and you expect to harvest towards the end of the year. So don't go through the week and be like, oh, I gotta do it. We need to endure. It's a slow process. Doing it quickly, you'll burn yourself out. And we don't want that. This is going to be my last point, I believe. Says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So this here is the word spoken to you guys, to myself even. So don't, you know, look at this like, oh man, my life's a mess, or I need to do this or do that, you know, to clean things up. this is the word spoken to you, you're clean. Let's just leave Sunday today and begin to do it. You know, we're clean, we're made complete. We just need to stand and do it.
So when Josh came to me a couple months ago and shared that with me, and then I got a chance to hear it again, and then that's my third time. I think there's a warning in there, and let's not soften the blow. Jesus' words were this: if you don't bear fruit, I will cut you off. And you know why? Because we have a lot of things in the kingdom. I believe this right now. When he says cut you off, do you know there's different ways that you get cut off in the world today? A lot of them is your sin finds you out. That cuts you off pretty quick. You know, I think I told a story last week about the minister who was carrying on over a couple year affair with one of his staff members. Well, finally, people got so sick of her feeling that he lied that they followed him around. And sure enough, as time came, he decided to have a public date with her, and they videoed it, and now it's all over the internet, and now the church is gone. Your life will find you out. And that's what one of the things we get to. So before I jump into a lot of that, I want to thank Josh because, A, he came up here, and I like the fact that his preparation is phenomenal. And he came in just like that. I was able to take notes and follow it. Unlike when I speak, you guys can't take notes. I watched Deb back there. She's a note taker. And she's like, oh. Sometimes she just throws her note bag. No. But, you know, I do. I get to. But it's nice to see. The first word we got was, hey, we got to bear fruit. And then if you're not bearing fruit, we got to start bearing fruit. And the reason why Jesus puts that in this parable in there was he's noticing I'm giving you a command and you're not following it. At what point are we going to be held accountable for what he's asked us to do? And I think that sometimes accountability in the church is an ugly word. Because we think we can have grace forever when in reality he's calling us to a higher place, a greater place, and a better place. And that grace, he's living on that grace bubble, which is not even the right way to say it. It's more of a mercy bubble. I can keep living the way I want. Paul says it clearly in Romans 6. Hey, can I continue to sin so that grace may abound? What's his response? God forbid. How can we, who are supposed to be dead to sin, continue to live in it? It should be an impossibility for us to want to live contrary to the nature that we were created for. And if that nature's still there, I think Josh made it clear, very good, and well, so did John here, so did Jesus here. Cut those things off in your life. Prune yourself before it gets cut off. 1 Corinthians, let me get my notes here. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says that we must judge ourselves before we get judged. So I challenge you as the word goes forth, don't take this as a, oh, you know, I'm really glad. We need to be fruitful. Let's hear both sides of the coin. The warning is, be fruitful or. I don't want to be a church that just continues to have church for the sake that, well, you know what, this is my 26th year going to this thing, and I love it, it's a good job. No, I want to be a fruitful church. I want to see the kingdom expand through you and through us. I want to see the lame walk, the blind see, the dead get raised. I want to see souls get saved. I want to see Jesus magnified and glorified, not just here on Sunday mornings, but out there throughout the week. I want to be a fruit-bearing church. And that starts with every one of us wanting and longing for that. Ricardo shared a testimony down in Honduras. They were having a meeting recently where they were coming in there and was it Christmas or New Year's when they did this? Christmas. And someone just began to confess something. And as they did, one began to get, and before you know it, this thing turns into like a full-blown little Christmas revival where people are repenting and getting their life right. And then how many people have they seen saved in the 2 years they've been open? 30. About 30 people saved in a town, in a village that is, okay, the mountains are big, but the homes are few. This is a place, it's in the nowhere. There's a church in Honduras bearing fruit. There's churches all, you know what, I believe this. We've got to long for the lost to find Jesus again. We've got to long for the people who are tormented in agony to get set free from those bondages. And you know, it is funny. I drove by, I don't get a chance because me living on the north side and driving a lot north, this week I had to go south a few times, And I actually saw the billboard. I mean, that during construction, it was very effective. I'm sure the construction workers saw the billboard there every day. But, you know, now that cars are back on 69 going south, it's, you know, just nice once in a while to look up and see a billboard. And as Christians, it's a great reminder Jesus is coming back. For who? For just us? I hope not. I hope he's coming back for a bride that's longing for others to be invited into this great, great, great joy. And so I want to encourage you. Josh used those scriptures well. Let's jump to Matthew 7. And I'm going to give you, and I'm going to tie it all together also, because this is going to talk about more than not bearing fruit. And it's going to talk about it. Okay. All right. So Matthew 7, starting at verse 15 here. It says this. That's it. There we go. Beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Jump to Luke now. He's going to share the same thing, but he's going to add one more piece to this puzzle that I really like. It's one thing I love about the Gospels. If you keep reading them together, you'll see that I think it's beautiful. Others will say, "Oh, it's contradicting." No, Matthew records what Jesus said. Luke does too, but Luke says, "You know what? I heard him say this." You guys are going to walk out of here today and go, "I heard Josh say that." No, I heard this. You both are right. It doesn't make one wrong. So he adds something a little bit good. Verse 43 of Luke 6: For a good tree brings forth, a good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, and bramble bush gather their grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So how are we going to know people by their fruit? What they say. The abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak it. You can be around somebody, and if you listen to what they're saying, you'll know the kind of fruit they're bringing forth. You also can observe it by their actions. So last week we talked about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit. When you're watching somebody working in the flesh, the fruit they're bringing forth is carnal. They're bringing forth the drunkenness and sexual. Remember, the first four of the six were sexual sins. And Kenny and I were talking, I think the next day, the reason why so much emphasis, if you look, in Jesus' teachings in the New Testament has to do with sexual immorality is because they were pagan practices, we'll call it. I mean, if you ever get involved, even today, don't get involved. If you ever hear about it, do you know a lot of occultism today is inundated with sexual experiences? I mean, the way you advance, I'm not even going to go through the stories because you don't need to hear all this stuff, but whether you're dealing with witchcraft or Satanism or any type of evil occult activity, every one of those practices requires sexual morality. In order to go and reproduce yourself, you must have some type of intimate relationship with something to connect yourself with them. That's why Paul says, do you know, it's not what goes inside a man, what comes out of a man defiles him, except sexual morality. Because when a man goes into a woman, they become one. And so when you're in the occult world, they want that type of oneness to happen to create this bond. It's very sick and very, very demonic. So the warning we have as Christians is don't get involved in that. And the reason being is it is very prominent in our world today and just in a different setting. But it also talks about lying and drunkenness and just living a carnal lifestyle. So if we're constantly living that lifestyle and someone's observing us, what are they thinking? That's not kind of the fruit I want to follow. That's not someone bearing fruit. Now, let me also say this. This is one thing I do not like. I do not believe God has called the church to be fruit inspectors. I've said this many times over the years. I'm not to look here and say, I don't really like that apple. It's not very good. Hey, it's an apple. The Bible says you know them by their fruits. It didn't say you're to judge the fruit they're producing. We have a God that does those things. Now, if you're close and you're friends, and you can say, hey, listen, I noticed that this is off. That we have relationships to do that with one another. Yes, I believe accountability and relationship is amazing. But listen, just because someone's fruit looks different than yours, and a couple of weeks ago I gave the example of Johnny Cash. I know. I'm doing it again. I like that kind of music. But, you know, I read the books and hear this. And you hear these revivalists will tell you that Johnny Cash, Billy Graham met with him and he's born again. Now, if you look at Johnny Cash's lifestyle, I'm not saying it was very Christ-like. You all know that, you know, the times he spent in jail and all the things he did. But you know one thing I do know? Some of the music he listens, he wrote. Oh, my. I can listen to it, and it, with the Christians, he's got some really good Christian stuff. Especially when Bob Dylan went through his little Christian phase, by the way, and did, you know, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb and all that. You can listen to that and hear a heart change. Now, what happened, why they got deceived and walked away, I'm not going to be their judge. I'm not going to find out where they're spending eternity. But here's what it is. People are watching you to see what fruit you're producing. You can sing about Jesus all day long. Johnny Cash, he did a lot. Or you can live the way you do, and they're going to watch that. People are going to see more than they hear. They're going to watch your lifestyle and say, is this person a fruit-bearing person? If so, they're going to want the fruit you have, and you're going to be able to offer them life, an everlasting life. And Jesus, when he saw the woman at the well, he said, woman, the water I give you is not going to be something you can dig up and get out of water. It's going to be everlasting. It's going to get inside of you. It's going to flow out of you. That's what he wants us to be, is the people that produce an everlasting life that not just goes into you, but comes out of you to others, and it produces fruit in them so they can produce fruit in others. And that's what the fruit process should look like. It's not just so we have a good garden in our backyard and go, look at my garden. No, it's that my garden is feeding me and feeding others, and then their garden, and it becomes a production. And I think Josh said a really neat thing at the end. He goes, we are in about to go into February. We're not really in plant time yet outside, but spiritually, this is a great time to sow some seed. Sow some seed in your life right now. What do you want to sow into your life now so you can see produce harvest later? Is your relationship with your boss, your spouse, your children, your friends, your this, your that, how are they doing? Whatever you sow into, you'll get. If you want a better marriage, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to pray about it. That's okay. I'm going to give you, that's a good answer. But that's not the answer. I want to sow into it. How do you sow into it? I don't know. Maybe go ahead and search this out right here about what God says about marriage. And then what he says about husbands and wives, this is what you do to make it. There's the answers you need are right here. And then when you pray about it, you pray with the word. And you pray first, you know, my favorite prayer is, Lord, if you just would change my wife, my life would be so much better. Amen. Amen. So, I'm not going to look that way right now. But that's not the prayer that's going to work. Lord, change me. Make me a husband. Make me a dad. Make me a boss. Make me who I'm called to be. Therefore, I can relate to them and believe that God can do something in that. When you begin to look, the only person you can change is you. You can't change the one around you as much as if I could just get, you know, and then what happens is if you change him to be like you, you're going to hate him. Because you know what? You're going to realize, well, I really am a pain in the neck to live with. Because now I'm living with someone that I produced. And you know what's going to be really sad? They are doing their lifestyle out of robotic behavior, and it's not genuine anyways, and you're going to hate that anyways, right? So you want them to be genuinely who they are, yet you want them to be like you. It's not working. It's just not going to work. But what do you sow yourself into? How about this? That's relational. How about financially? Anybody want to be blessed this year financially? I do. I want to be blessed of the Lord. So what are you sowing into? Well, obviously we give our tithe because that's obedience. Let me just make it clear. The willing and the obedient, they eat through the land. Tithing is not just my opinion. It's the Old Testament. Before the law, it was established. It was established in the law, and the New Testament teaches on it. Therefore, you can't tell me that it doesn't work. But let's not talk about tithing. That'll be just, you ought to be doing that. If you're not doing that, repent and do it, okay? It's obedience. What are you doing with the extra? It says, do not rob me with your tithes and offerings. What are you offering as an opportunity to sow into others so the blessing in your life comes? Sowing and reaping is one of the greatest principles that, I won't even go there, in Genesis. So this is summertime, harvest, winter. Sowing and reaping will never cease. This is a principle that's going to go on forever. And the world teaches it. The Bible teaches it. So what are you sowing into financially? And this is great. What I'm telling you right now is your tithe. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about what are you sowing into outside of this church? You know, I got my giving statement this year from Robbie Dawkins Ministries. And I forgot I gave because it gets taken out automatically of the accounts. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. And then I read his newsletter to follow, which I appreciated. And it explained, this is what God is doing in the Middle East with the money. And right now we need it more than ever. I'm actually thinking, I gave that much this year? Need to get some more. You know why? The Middle East church is under such attack. The church in China is coming under attack again. Let's partner with these people. The gospel needs to go forth. Because I sow my money and my time and I sow into that, I'm going to produce fruit in that area I'm sowing into. If you want to go ahead and, you know, if you go out to if you have a garden at your house, I don't really want some corn, but you go out throw and go plant a bunch of green beans, you're going to be very disappointed. Sow into what you're calling God for. God, I want this. I want to sow into this and believe for it. Sow into it. Pray into it. Don't just put the seed in the ground and walk away. Water it. He said this, water it. Put some manure around it. Fertilize it. How? Pray over it. Stand on the word over it. Believe with it. Declare for it. And don't ever compromise what you know you're going to see. And when it comes, and it says in due seasons, Galatians 6, in due season you will produce, receive the righteousness of it. If you don't faint. Remember that? We got to press in. You can't give up. Some things you're fighting for, I hate that we're close to the finish line. We're feeling like I'm never going to get here. You know, don't sell yourself short. Sow into it so your life is fruitful. I could go in other areas. Have the Lord show you where is it that we're supposed to be fruitful. Let's talk about the church now. I want to see this church on Sunday mornings. Josh made a great point. What are you doing with the extra time in your life? I am not about a show. Not about a performance. I'm not about, you know what? We have a band up there that blesses us every week. I mean, sometimes we got guys playing different instruments. They're stepping up and helping out. You have no idea the amount of work that goes into what they do up there. We are blessed to have a leadership with Kendall as the leader, obviously. Her heart, if you guys don't know her, her heart to worship is beyond anyone I've ever been around. I want to see a church that matches that. We can't ask them to take us somewhere we don't want to go. Hear my heart, please. I'm not asking for an experience. I'm not asking you to go out and be entertained. Matter of fact, we were opposed so much. The lights were a nice addition because we wanted to. I almost wonder sometimes if we've made it too much for production. Not here. I don't believe at all here at all. I don't know, but I don't want to go to a concert. I want to go to an encounter. But that shouldn't be your only encounter Sunday morning, correct? If this is the only time you're worshiping, man, if the only time that you're eating is when, at certain times of the week, you're going to starve. We got to worship, but it's produced in your car down the road. And not for me, actually. You know what? I told this someone the other day. They said, I told them, I don't listen to worship music in my car. I can't. Because if I'm listening to worship music, I'm focusing, and and I got to pull over and I got to worship. I don't like to, it's not a, I listen to other music. Actually, I don't listen to a lot right now, or I listen to radio or talk or preaching, whatever. But when I want to worship, I want to shut everybody else off. I want to get my phone turned off, and I want to go to a place where I'm alone. And because lately I've been traveling a little bit, I get hotels, it's kind of nice, no one's around me. And you know what, you just sit there, and sometimes I just let the worship play. I lay down, and I don't say a word. I just enjoy his presence. Are you doing this at all? I'll get abide in me. What does abide mean? Here, let's jump in the text. I know I'm actually just preaching what I'm about, what he's already read. So I'm technically not jumping ahead of myself because he already read it. So if you look at the two types, let me finish this up and go. Over here it says you're going to know them by their fruit. And that's whether or not their faults are real. But Christians ought to be fruitful in everything we do, but let's make sure we're producing real fruit that's lasting fruit. And how do we do that? That's the point I want to make today. How? Number one, we abide. What does it mean to abide? It means to dwell. It means to have intimacy. It means to have a connection. It means to make a home over yourself. It means that this is my source and not my result, what I go to when I can't find it. My source of strength. My source of hope. Not when I lose my peace, I gotta go get it back. He is my peace. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my life. He is my joy. He is my healing. He is my provision. He is the source of everything I need. In John 15, he clearly says this, I am the vine. You all are branches. When you disconnect from the vine, your branch can't do anything. So some of us out there are working really hard to do things for God, but we're not connected to the vine. We have to get our source of life from Jesus himself. He is our source. He is our life. And when we find that, it comes automatically, and it doesn't take any work. When John 5, in verse 5, when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, he means this literally. When you're not connected to him, you're not doing anything except spinning your wheels and doing it on your own. That's what the Pharisees did, and that's why Matthew 23, if you look at this, the Pharisees' fruit was born out of legalism. They lived a life of external behavior, modifications, disciplining their lives to live, and they did a great job. I mean, they're a bunch of hypocrites, Jesus called them, but on the outside, they really, and Jesus, you're whitewashed tombs. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. You look good as fruitful, but your fruit doesn't have any bearing that's going to last because it's not coming from the inside. So that's the other type we got to be careful of, is external fruit that looks good, but when you pick it up, it was just plastic. Take a bite and that doesn't taste very good. It tastes very rubbery. Why? Because it's not genuine fruit. That's the John 15, 5 verse. Apart from me, you have plastic fruit. I don't want to be it. Matthew 23, it's written, Jesus was saying, woe to you Pharisees. It's a rebuke of the fruit they produced. It's not working. And so as a church, I don't want to be that. I don't want to go and live a life that's living externally and not internally. The fruit I want to bear is because it comes in from me. And I don't want to just talk about joy. I want to have joy. I don't want to just talk about healing. I want to walk in healing. And when sickness attacks my body, I want to stand and believe it's not just for you, it's for me. When a lack of peace comes because of a bad decision or a thought or something I've done or been a part of, I want to get my peace back as quick as I can because Jesus said, my peace I give to you. When I lose hope because something bad happens and I can't look and see a future of brightness and joy and prosperity and blessing, I want to get my hope back. If any of you can't look to tomorrow and see a better day, get your hope fixed on him. There are no bad futures in Christ. There might be a bad day, a stormy day, or a cloudy day. But you know that's not going to stop me when I know the sun's still shining behind that cloud. I can look up and say, man, it's dark, but guess what? I can see right behind those clouds is the sun. No matter what I'm going through, I got hope to know I can get through it. Because that is the foundation of the faith that we have to go forward. I want to be a church that's so connected. I say, when I use the word connected, I want to see a level of intimacy increase here in worship. That, you know, we changed the service time to start at 10. That means, you know, I was like, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we actually start church at 10. Did you know that? 10. And so when we start worshiping after Kenny encourages you to be greedy, did you guys catch that real quick? It's just encouragement, that's all. Kind of like Josh was giving you a little rebuke. I'm just loving this. So at 10 o'clock when Kenny gets up and welcomes you, that's your little indicator, hey, we got to get in here. But at 10:05, when the first song starts, wouldn't it be cool to say, I'm engaged and ready. I'm engaged. I want to sing, and I want to dance. I want to worship, and I want to connect, and I want to abide in him in such a way that I look forward to being there at 9:50, which I'm still working now, at 9:50, 9:45, and if you really want to get in, what time is prayer start on Sunday mornings? At 9:15, you could even come in here, and you know what they do? I'm going to give you a secret. Pretty cool. The worship team that wants to stay up there a little bit and flow, they worship, and they pray, and they release things, and they are in the presence of God. You're welcome to come at 9:15 even. Why? Because we want you to encounter God. Well, I'm not really an intercessory prayer. I didn't ask you to intercede. I ask you to worship and pray. I'm not really in the prayer team. Didn't ask you to be on the prayer team. I ask you if you want to come and worship and pray with us a little bit earlier. Why? So you can abide. So you can dwell. You can dwell in the presence of God. When years ago, when the concept of soaking was introduced to the church, where they would just play this beautiful, awesome worship music, and you just lay there and soak in the presence of God, I jumped on that one. I loved it. Because there's no, folks, we got to stay connected on a level of intimacy and worship. Then we also, if you want to live in victory, this is not religious speaking, it's not legalism, you will never, ever live to the fullness of who God's called you to without living in his word. If we don't know this in here and in here, it won't produce fruit out there. We can know and hear all about the word all day long. The Bible says this, but you know what? The word of God says this, and when it becomes logos, which is written word, to the rhema word inside of me, and it's produced out of me, there is a fruit that comes from that. You see, when I quote scripture a lot of times throughout the sermons, it's because I love getting in this word, and I wish my dad is you, those of you remember him preaching for years here, and still does, I'm sure, wherever he's at, on the phone with people all day long in Retirementville down there. You know, it's funny. People listen to me, I don't know if that guy ever opened his Bible, but he used like 90 scriptures. You know why? You know, my dad would get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning. He'd be at his office by 7:30-ish because all the people got there at 8, so he's early, of course. And he'd go to breakfast, and he'd have two or three Bibles out, and he'd spend a minimum, an hour plus a day at a little restaurant in Michigan called Mr. Fables, it's not there anymore. Great. And every once in a while on Saturdays, my dad would say, hey, you want to go with me to the office? And I said, no, I don't want to. By the way, just to let you know, if my dad's hearing this one day, I'd never want to go. Why would I, at 13, 12, 10 years old, want to get up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning? Still don't want to, by the way, just so you know that, okay, just if it's out there. But of course, I said, yes, Dad, I want to go with you and not sleep tonight. So I would walk. He'd wake me up and knock on my door. I'd get up and I'd go to breakfast with him. You know what he'd do? Hey, would you read me this? And I had a problem when I was younger, being able to understand, comprehend what I read. And my dad had me read, and I had no idea what I was reading. No, and I was like, okay, baby. And of course, sometimes it was the King James. I mean, you're 12 years old in the King James. It sounds like I read earlier. Same thing. It's still happening today in my life. But you know what I did? Servers would walk by and say, I'll never forget one time they go, do you sell Bibles? Because he'd have two or three out there. He goes, no, I just like to read different ones to make sure I'm getting an understanding. And I watched this man every day of his life dedicate that time to the Word. Taught me something. You know what I found out years later? My grandpa down in Tennessee. He worked the coal shift down there, and he had to get up at 2 o'clock every morning to go to his shift. And up midnight and get that, you know, the lamp, the oil lamp back then. My dad told me a story. He'd take that oil lamp, put it out there, and that man would get in his Bible and just read and study the Word. And this man, every Sunday morning, decided, because the church, like, what's this guy doing? He decided to ask the pastor one day, I want to have a Bible study. And at one point, I didn't know this until a couple years ago. My dad just told me a story. Down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my grandfather, who I had never met, would have a Bible study on a Sunday morning before church that was twice the size of the church they had. Because he was such a man of the Word that people would want to go and listen to him expound. Don't you want that to be told about us? When I get around them, the Word just comes out of them. This is not a legalistic approach. This is an encounter approach. This is that I want to know and abide in him so much that my life produces a fruit. That when people are around me, they see the presence of God, worship, and they see the Word of God produced in me in such a way they want what I got. This is not a word when it says, in 1 year I'm going to cut you. This is a word about now. As Josh said a minute ago, our goal is not December 31st. Well, if December 31st comes up, we're done. Everybody get the chainsaws. No. Our goal is February 1st, March 1st, April, May, June. Let's start producing fruit now. How do you start? Abiding in him. Get in his presence. Get in his word. And let him get in you. As we close, go to Colossians chapter 1, would you, please? Josh made a comment earlier. I wrote this down. The worship team, you're welcome to hop back up there if you want. Because I normally ask you when I'm done. So I look at that. Josh made a comment earlier that was really neat about sacrifice. There is something called the sacrifice of praise. I can't do two things at once right now. There is something called the sacrifice of praise. And that's what happens where, what's that guy? Kevin Prosh, right? Yeah. Wrote a CD years ago after he was, his testimony is phenomenal. the way it ends. This is a man who was a massive worshiper. Just a heart for worship is amazing. But in the midst of his time of leading worship and going through all the things he was doing, Kevin was leading and also a lifestyle that was inappropriate. And he'd write songs that he'd be weeping. He sang very prophetic. You know, there was one song, one CD he had, like two or three just songs that were just prophetic, spontaneous songs. And they were just songs that were pouring out the heart to God about repentance. And I thought, how does a man get to that point of singing? And then I found out later what he's going through. Out of his heart of repentance, he sang worship of the condition he was in. Even though he was in sin, his heart to repent was still greater than that. Listen, just because you're struggling and there's strongholds and there's weaknesses in your life that are attacking you doesn't mean you can't be like David and keep getting in the presence of God and repenting. That's fruit too, folks. The fruit of repentance is still there. But Kevin, he wrote, as he's there, he talked about it. One of the songs he wrote was, I can't even go on the fields of praise, but I will worship you as a sacrifice of praise. And this song was so amazing, as I wish I would have even been, could have played it. But the song always meant the world to me, because there's times where in this life, listen, you don't feel like worshiping, and you definitely don't feel like praising. Because the cloud is darker than the sun, and all you can see is the cloud. And you don't want to get up and dance and shout. You don't want to even, matter of fact, sometimes you're going to go hide in a corner. You want to go and get consoled rather than be that life story. There's times where the world does attack you, and you allow those things to penetrate this awesome fortress that we have, and it does hit you. That is when the sacrifice of praise is needed the most. That is when Josh was talking about, this shouldn't be sacrifice every day. Otherwise, we got a problem. It should be lifestyle. We should want the presence of God. It should be, I look forward to going to church. I look forward to worshiping. I look forward to getting in the Word. I look forward to talking to people about Jesus. But when you don't feel that way, that is when the sacrifice part comes alive in you. You do it anyways because it's command of us. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it's living in me. I wish I could push this out there in a way that that wouldn't sound so crazy, but I can only do it the way I know. Years ago, you guys didn't know a guy named, this is really weird, I'm talking a lot of people who have fallen in their faith. Phil Driscoll, another one who went to jail. But anyways, Phil Driscoll, trumpet player, one of the greatest trumpet players ever to walk the planet. And he got himself, by the way, he actually wasn't. He got in trouble because the jet he got donated to his ministry ended up being a tax liability. Hey, guess what? Even when you get $1 million gifts, the government wanted their stuff. So it wasn't something he actually was living in sin about. But I went to one of his meetings, and Phil Driscoll would play the trumpet. He'd worship. And, I mean, it was amazing. We saw, Dublin when he came down there? We saw him at the church that we were a part of down there. And he would come and play. And the presence of God, I mean, I could just feel, I mean, almost a shaking, a trembling. Where the glory of God was so much, I didn't want to stand up. And Phil would give this revelation. He said, I want you guys to tell you, I want to teach you one thing tonight. First time I ever heard this. He said, I want to teach you how to shout your way to victory. I said, okay, that's weird. And by the end of the night, that non-shouting church became a shouting church. And when you find out, and I'm not telling you, it's not about making a scene. When you find out that something down here comes through this, and out of this, breakthrough happens when the mouth speaks it. You can praise him from your heart all day long, but until those words become out loud words, and I think decibel is just in the eye of the beholder. I mean, I'm a sports guy. And yeah, last week, by the way, thanks, I made that big dreary announcement that Michigan was going to go embarrass themselves down in Bloomington, but boy, that didn't happen. But the guy next to me didn't like me very much because of the team I was rooting for. He made it clear. He told me to shut the blank up. I'm like, I was rooting for my team, but anyways, caused some turmoil inside of me. We didn't speak the rest of the game, by the way. I just kind of looked this way towards my family. But you know what? It was great. IU's a phenomenal. Assembly Hall's a great, great place to play. But last week when I saw this team come out, Michigan's got a pretty good lead. And here comes IU, run down the court, cutting into that lead. And now the crowd is on their feet. The decibel level at the Assembly Hall is unbelievable. If you've never been there, if you like IU, of course, I'm sorry, Purdue fans too. But that place is magnificent when it comes to volume. And all of a sudden, we're standing with all the IU, and they're just cheering their team for a comeback. IU is losing. But the decibel level of that assembly was louder than any stadium you can get. They were losing, folks. But what they saw was momentum. They saw a steal and a layup, and they went down there and knocked a three down. Now that 16-point lead came to 11, and all of a sudden they cut it to single digits, and this place is just growing crazy. Why? Because IU is winning? No, they didn't, by the way. Sorry. No. Sorry, that was mean. No, why? That's wrong. Disrespectful. Why? Because they saw a chance that the game wasn't over yet. They saw a chance that we're going to shout our way to encourage the people around us to get excited about what they're watching, to know that there is still victory in sight. Why? Because they saw hope inside of them that was greater than a basketball game today, but greater than the scoreboard. It was the fact that we got a team that can come back. We got this. We could do this. What I saw was the church not doing that. We're not motivated by what we've been promised by God. We're not motivated because we have a gift, we have healing, we have blessing, we have souls being saved. Let's get up and shout the other saints along. This great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11 is rooting us along in such a way. Get in faith and go. Believe and go. Stand on my word and go. But that's abiding. Abiding is knowing the God that we know so well. He wants the blessing that is not just for what's written here, but he wants it in your life every day. So why are we not experiencing this awesome fruit? Because we're not abiding. Our branch has been disconnected to the vine. And we're out here feeling alone, feeling isolated. You know, I can go up and give you a hug and make you feel better, they'll last you about, well, if it's a good hug, maybe a few minutes. When you connect the vine, you'll have that moment every day, every hour for you. We'll take a 2 second in Colossians. That'll transform you. I want to know him. Paul says in Philippians 3, that I might know Christ in the power of his resurrection, through the fellowship of his sufferings, that I too might attain the resurrection and live a life of victory. I want to know him that well. I want to know him that I died with him. I was buried with him. And that suffering that was put upon him was taken off of me so I can be raised up and live a life of victory. That's how well I want to know him. And that word know, he says that I might know him, he used in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him, that I might encounter. It's the same word in the New Testament that Mary knew not a man. Hint, hint. Pretty close encounter. But that's the same word Paul used that says that I might know him. And in Paul prays for us in Ephesians chapter 3 that you might know the love of God, which is beyond human understanding, that you might know the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, the love of God, that you might know the fullness of God. That word know is the same word, gnosko. It's a Greek word, means to intimately be acquainted with. That's abiding. It's the knowledge of intimacy that we have with God on a daily, hourly, regular basis. How is the fruit of the Spirit? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of living in the Spirit. The fruit of abiding in God. You will produce these things naturally if you connect back to the vine. But if you don't, there's a warning. I will take this and I will put it in fire. It's gone. I don't want that for me. It's a warning that this is not a gloom. This is the word. And if Jesus just said John 15, we might, he didn't really mean it that way. But then he said it again in these other scriptures too. So it must be something there. Connect or be cut off. I don't want that for us. Prune yourself. Josh did a great job. Prune yourself. Cut those things that are bad so you can produce fruit. Those same branches that aren't bearing fruit, prune them. See from fruit. Colossians 1. Oh, my goodness. This is the mystery. It's been hidden for generations. Verse 24, whom now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to dispensation of God, which is given for me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to you today, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the whole point of connecting and abiding in God is this right here. It's Jesus, the anointed one. Christ is not Jesus. So let you know this. When you ask Jesus in your heart, Jesus the man doesn't come and live in you. But his spirit comes and seals you. But Christ, the anointed, Jesus the anointed one, his anointing, his power, his presence, his overflow gets inside of you. And it's now Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's no longer Adam living this life trying to muster up the strength and the discipline to do it myself. I've now got the anointed one himself inside of me, anointing me and empowering me to live a place of victory. That is abiding. The fruit of abiding is the anointed one himself anoints us, and that same power, the bondage breaking, yoke destroying power of God, Isaiah calls, that's what he calls the anointing, bondage breaking, yoke destroying power of God lives in me, that I can be that way for me first. I don't care if I can help you break your bondage if I'm living in my own. Let's get free. Let's be anointed. Let's walk in that anointing. The empowerment of God, the glory of God, the presence of God living inside of me gives me the hope of glory. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Worship, prayer team, you come on up. Thank Josh for stirring this message on. He can't hear me. He doesn't have earbuds in there. He can. Thank you. Was it great, great warning and encouragement for us today? Let's be a church that bears fruit. But a It starts with us right now. Amen? Father, I thank you this morning for your presence. That we don't want to just be talking about your presence, but we want to encounter you. Not just on Sunday mornings, but we want to be with you. We honor you in this place, and I do every area right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, for those that are wanting this, let's do this. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now just to fill this, every single person that knows you in this room. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. I'm asking you right now, Holy Spirit, to prune me. Ow, that hurts. Good. Come on. Any area right now. I'm asking God right now. If you just give me 3 minutes. Holy Spirit, would you bring conviction right now upon my heart of areas of compromise that needs to be cut off? And as soon as a word or a picture or a thought enters your mind right now, just thank him. Repent of it and thank him for cut that off now, Lord. I want that off of me right now. I want that worry. That worry has got no place in my life right now. I cut off that. I want that branch pruned big time. I want that cut off. I don't need fear in my life no more. Gone. Sickness, disease, can't be there. I want that cut off of me. Insecurity, doubt, anger, resentment, unforgiveness. I choose right now. I want this off. I want to be fruitful. These are holding me back from bearing fruit. I want them off of me. I'm tired of having resentment. I'm tired of having anger in my life. Cut it off. Prune me today. Judge myself before I get judged. I want to look at myself right now and say, Lord, thank you right now for giving me a way of freedom through repentance. I repent for that anger. Folks, listen. Just because there's a spirit of fear attacks you, you can rebuke the devil all day long, but until you repent of allowing it in your life, that's your freedom. Fear is going to come at you every day. But if you don't let it in, but if it has gotten in your life right now, I repent of letting fear control my mind and my thoughts and my emotions. I break that off of me now in Jesus' name. Fear, you got no power because I'm not giving you a place. Remember this. If you got no place, he's got no power. If you leave with that, if you don't give the devil or a spirit or an action a place, it doesn't have power in you or over you. Get yourself clean. That place, that abiding, is intimate with God. So Lord, today I ask you today, as we are worshiping you, to prune us. Clean us. That the fruit that we bear remains. It's not temporal just for this week until I get to the altar next week. I want it to be everlasting. I want anger. I want lust. I want fear to go for good. I want to be free. And I want to be fruitful.
I saw the Lord. He's seated on his throne, and he was clothed in glory, exalted high, and the train of thank you. saw the Lord. He's seated on his throne, and he is clothed in glory and exalted. Train of his robe, oh, it filled the temple, and the angels surrounded. Oh, your holy Lord of all, it's your holy God, we cry, you are holy and oh so holy, oh you. Holy Lord
Thank everyone for coming. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you next week.